be on the ground. Is that okay? That was beautiful. Thank you very much for that. Good morning, everyone. How's everyone? Now, you're looking as good as when I last saw you. That's one good thing. So you must be, obviously, following the laws of health because of the way you look. Is that the case? Right. I'm glad to hear a sort of confident reply. Okay. And also, thanks, Richard, for that introduction. That was something. Yeah, I have been in several areas of medicine, so I qualified. It's not 30. Did you hear 30 or 13? 13. 30. Okay, let me correct that. It's actually about 13 years. So the first time, you're right, the first time I spoke to yourselves was when you were at the Baptist Church. And that was very, very strange. So that was about 15 years ago, I think. Anyway, never mind about the time and dates. But I'm glad to be here once again. I really appreciate your invite. God is really leading us as a people, especially in the times that we're in. And not only that, when I went into medicine, one of the real specialist areas I really wanted to be in was psychiatry. Just give you a bit of my testimony. When mum had her first two children, they died at stillbirth. So they died at birth. So the third time she was pregnant was with me. So she was advised to rest. So she went back to the Caribbean. She went back to Antigua. So I was born there, and I came back to England when I was about 4 years old. So because two children had died at birth, my dad prayed that this child, me, would be in the medical ministry. I only knew that a few years before he passed away. He actually revealed that to me. And so God has opened the doors for me to be in the medical ministry. Okay. Now, so I can see how God has led me as well. As I wanted to be in psychiatry, I feel that's a real need. But my wife said, if I go into psychiatry as a specialist, she's going to lock the front door and not let me in. Let me back in. There's this thing about doctors who become in psychiatry turn like the patient. I don't know where that come from. I don't know what sort of myth that is. But anyway, so I just for compromise, I went into medicine, general medicine, and then went into general practice. I was there for a little bit. So I was doing sort of part-time in general practice, and as I was doing part-time, I said, well, I'm doing part-time here. Let me see if I can have the other part as a locum. So I started phoning these locum psychiatry agencies, and I landed a post in psychiatry. So I didn't tell my wife it was psychiatry. She did find out eventually, and she said, oh, you creeped in, you creeped. So I'm glad that God has led me the way. I spent some fantastic times in general medicine. It's brilliant. I learned quite a lot, but I'm glad I'm where I am. It's challenging, but I know God is leading, and he will continue to lead. Now, this morning, we are talking about our emotions. Emotions say something that we really least talk about for one reason or the other. I'm not sure why, but maybe because when we read the scripture reading, we'll come back to that in a second. Maybe we can sort of play on the reasons why it becomes a bit of a stigma. So you've noticed I've put Brother Wesley Warren, haven't you? Have you noticed that? Has anyone wondered why? Right. Now, one thing, as we are, let me just say this, as we are, we should be less, I would say we should be less formal with each other, okay? And not only that, if I put doctor there, doctor means that whatever I say to you, you have to sort of listen and accept because I've got the qualifications, rather than allowing the spirit to lead. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So we should try our best to forget the qualifications, because when I come in here, I'm not going to say, oh, how are you, electrician John? Have you had a good week? How are you, carpenter Mary? Have you had a good week? Do we do that? No. Okay, so Doctor is my job, it's my day job. Spirit of God leads me as I meet here and we speak together, okay? I hope we all understand that, what I'm trying to say here. All right, so mental health awareness. We are in the mental health month of awareness. Now, this was started in, which surprised me, the mental health awareness month was started when? 1946. Yeah, and the reason why it was started was to avoid or try to reduce the stigma and get folks as individuals to really understand wellness in terms of our mental state. So I think after so many years, do you think we're getting there? Slowly. Oh, well, today's a testimony that we are getting there because we want to address mental health. Now, what struck me as well, and I'm glad to see you, so just backtrack, glad to see you, Sister Goodman. I know Caroline was phoning me when things weren't great, and we had a really good conversation, so I'm really pleased. Yeah, thank you. We're really pleased that you're here, and I can see you this morning. Give God thanks. Amen. Praise God for that. Okay, so mental health awareness. So this is what we're going to be looking at, okay? And I'm going to be asking you some questions. Likewise, if you feel free, you can just ask me. So it's going to be really interactive as much as possible. One thing with the interaction is that you'll remember what's said as well. Because if I just talk here for the next sort of 13 minutes, you'll only remember probably 5 minutes of what I said. But when there's the interactions, you'll remember sort of like key points. Is that fair? Is that okay? Fantastic. So a sound mind. We're going to look at biblical perspective of mental disorder, okay? What's mental health and mental disorder? Anxiety, a predominant presentation in our time. Lifestyle measures to combat anxiety. Fear and heart failure according to scriptures. Biblical principles to establish a sound mind in our time, stroke the last days, okay? So it looks a lot, but it's not. Okay, all right, here we go. So as we said, physical health is something that we all really understand. We are attuned to. If I gave a specific physical health disorder, you'll be aware of it. If I asked you, give me a mental health disorder, we'd probably be sort of battling a bit. But we mentioned one, anxiety. But there's a few mental health disorders, okay? But there's also this thing about physical health. If our physical health is poor, that will affect our mental health. And likewise, if our mental health isn't great, that will affect our physical health. Is that the case? Okay, yeah, there is some degree of merit in that. So when we look at scriptures itself, when it talks about anything to do with health, one of our first things that we came across is in Exodus 15:26. If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring upon you any of these diseases that I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who what? Heals you. When I first came across this years ago as a young man, I thought that was amazing. Is that true? Can that be possible? But I think one thing we miss in this is that I am the Lord who heals you. So when we walk in the principles of God, and we mentioned the principle this morning, that's one of the words that came to me when the brother was asking about what is precept. I said, oh, it's a principle. In my mind, I said, well, it's a principle. And then someone said it. And that's right. When we walk in the principles that God has set us, especially in health, he will heal you. Guaranteed. And I've put that guarantees to a couple of folks who've asked me some advice. And I said to them, guarantee. You follow my advice? Guarantee. And they came back with a smile. Why? Because the Lord heals us when we follow his principles. Okay, so these are these ancient diseases of what God was talking about there, what Moses, was speaking about. Renal and vesicular calculi, so that's kidney stones, bacterial infections, tumors, gout, leprosy, infantile paralysis, appendicitis, arteriosclerosis. These are all sort of common diseases of the ancient Egypt. So there's no different today's there. So if you think about it, now let's give it a bit of a thought here. Back in that time, the soil was much more perfect. They had much more better water than ourselves today. So everything that they had, you would wonder, how come they had the diseases? Have you ever thought that? Why do you think that these diseases occurred then, back in that time, in ancient times? Because of sin? Have you ever given a thought? Why? Well, they had such abundance of minerals and vitamins in their soil. Fresh water, but they still had these diseases, which we have in today. Have you given any thought? Okay. The what? Sorry?
The evil one was still at work then.
Yeah, the devil was still at work, yes. And obviously they were making choices in some respect as well. What is this? They had abundance of? Yes, yeah, okay. So they were eating things as well that wasn't right. Okay, that's one. And more than likely as well, what we call overindulgence. Overindulgence, okay. So when we overindulge these things, so gout is a specific overindulgence disease. Likewise, when we eat, do you know how we get renal calculi? Even say today, renal calculi, stones in our kidneys. Someone I met once, and he said to me, oh, he's got to go to the doctors because he's got kidney stones. I immediately said to him, do you eat a lot of this? And he looked at me and said, yeah. So, do you know what I said to him? What I asked him? What he eats a lot of? Chocolate. Anyone that eats a lot of chocolate? So chocolate can give you kidney stones. It's oxalate in chocolate can develop. It's if you eat a lot of chocolate. And not only that, I've just even found out this week, a lot of the chocolates that we eat is actually toxic. Majority of the chocolates that we eat are toxic. So there are very, very few brands that are reasonable in terms of, let's say health, but our bodies can accept, really. So we talked about this, the physical health, the mental health. So we looked at mental health. So what does scripture say in terms of mental health? Now, we had a scripture reading. Now, this is very interesting reading here. Thank you, that was well read. Thank you, Ruth, for reading that. Now, why did David feign that he was mad? Why? To protect himself? What was the key element of him trying to protect himself? Because I don't want to miss that point, really. Because there's something that we all have an issue with, all of us, okay? And so David, being the man he was a man of God's own heart, okay? He wanted to protect himself. What was the key thing, the key word why he wanted to protect himself? Is because he was afraid, scared. Scared for his life, so he wanted to protect himself. So he feigned himself. Now, so the term mad, that's where we first sort of picked up this word, and it's used today. Now we don't use that word. It's a word that really brings on stigma, doesn't it? So we refrain from using it. So another word which we tend to use today in terms of how David presented. So David presented with spittle coming out of his mouth, scrabbling at the door. These are all signs of what we call psychosis. Okay. Psychosis, where we'll have, say, we're having hearing voices, we're seeing things that are not there, or we have delusional thoughts. Okay, that's psychosis. So, what mental illness is where we sort of start thinking, feeling, and all these thinking and the way we feel comes out in a specific behavior. Okay, so we develop a specific behavior by our thoughts. So, it's something that's keeps on just going in our minds, and sometimes it's quite negative. We can't get rid of it, and then it affects our sleep, it affects the way we're feeling, maybe anxious, and then that comes over in a way we may behave, okay? So that's what we call mental illness. So it starts off with our thoughts, then goes on to the way we feel, and then how it presents and the way we behave. So this is a clear definition here. So of mental health, definition, a state of overall emotional and psychological well-being. Mental illness is diagnosable condition affecting mood, behavior, and thinking. And who does it apply to? So mental health applies to all of us. Mental illness applies to a specific group or individuals. Fluctuation. So mental health, it can improve when we're in good mental health, and it can decline. But that depends on what our environment and habits. So we're going to come back to that. Environment and habits. Mental illness requires professional diagnosis and treatment. Now, sometimes working in psychiatry, we have to be astute because sometimes patients may have an agenda. Okay, so I work in a specific area where sometimes I'm doing a 24-hour shift. So I start at 9 o'clock in the morning and I finish 9 o'clock the following morning. So by the time midnight comes, you're kind of very kind of tired. I had a call that there's a new admission that come in. So when I hear new admission at 11 or 12 o'clock at night, you know you're going to be there assessing the patient for at least a couple of hours. So I was wondering to myself, how quick is this going to be? So I went to the ward and I started looking at the notes of the patient, his name, address, a type of mental health act he's presenting under. So once I've done that, I then go and see the patient. So I went to see this patient. So he stood in front of me. So I said, what's your name? So he told me his name is Son of the Morning. So I said, okay, what's your other name? He said, Morning Star. So I said, well, okay. Who are you depicting? He said, the devil. So I said, all right. Okay. I'm just going to go back and do my... So I went back in the office. Sat down. Because when you have patients of that, you're going to need a collaborative someone else to help you. Okay? But what I'm saying, you need sometimes spirit of discernment as well. Because if you think about it, he was methodical in his thoughts in terms of, I am Son of the Morning, and also Son of the Morning and Morning Star. Okay, so I know in my mind there's only one person who that is ascribed to. So that's why I said to him, who are you depicting? And then he said, the devil. So he has methodically said names that are pertaining to the devil. So while I was sitting there trying to get some stuff done for him, I saw him run across the lounge frantically, from one area of the lounge frantically to the other. Then I heard a knock on the door, and it was him, and then he moved up and he told me to come. So I went in the room and said, what's the matter? He said, he started telling me who his name was, where he lived. So I said, what's brought this on? He said he went out there to the other patients. They asked him his name. He told him it was the devil. They started beating him and said they don't want any devil in here. So he then found who his name was to me straight away. He told me where he lived, who his mother was, how old he was. So what I'm saying is that sometimes patients have an agenda, but you have to have that discernment, yes. Discernment as to, is this for real or is this a... As I said, from that first meeting, I said, this is the agenda this patient has there. And it proved in terms of when he started calling me and told me what actually happened on the ward. So prevention, focus, prevention, wellness, and self-care. That's mental health. Diagnosis and therapy in terms of mental illness. There's a diagnosis, and there's a management, and there's therapy. And there's a goal as a mental health, building resilience and balance, recovery, and functional stability. Okay. So these things that we don't really talk about much in terms of our mental state and mental health, but it's something that we need to be aware of, okay, and be more open. And honestly, as God's people, we need to be more open with each other in the times that we're in. Do you believe that? Certainly so. Okay. So these are specific mental disorders that we can have. Mood disorders. So mood disorders are pertaining to depression, anxiety disorders. This is something that we're going to really sort of like more sort of touch on today. Psychotic disorders, which we spoke about slightly, which I don't want, it's a subject of itself, psychotic disorders, eating disorders, repetitive thoughts, and so forth. So now, we still got to be careful in terms of, sometimes you can have a medical condition that can manifest itself as psychosis as well. Okay, so when we have a patient that has newly been diagnosed with psychosis, sometimes it's important that we exclude that there's not a medical condition as well. So that's why sometimes we have CT scans and so forth, right? So that's just all that slides. So symptoms of psychosis, hallucinations, delusions, paranoia, panic attacks, agitation, disorganized thinking, and lack of insight. These are all sort of, as I said, symptoms of psychosis. Now I'm going to put this picture up. So we're going to lead slowly into where we want to go today. Why do you think I've put that up? So we've got Windrush. We're talking about mental health today. Anyone got any thoughts why this image is up? Right, yeah. So any time a population moves from where they are to another sort of place, another country, okay, they migrate, they have a higher risk of psychosis. So that population will have a higher risk of psychosis. Camberwell Housewives. Okay. All right, and that in regards to this, yeah. Oh, okay. Right, yeah. So anyone who moves from one area and migrates to another has a higher risk of psychosis. So why is that? So what would be the start of that? So what would the start of that, do you think? What would change? Yeah, and different environments, loneliness, you're away from your family, unknowns. But one of the key things still, a lot of folks who came from the Caribbean came as well religiously. They did not leave their religion behind, so they were believers. You get me? You understand? They were believers, but they're still at high risk of a mental disorder. So this is telling us then the way we think and feel, we must be in tune with our mental state. Okay. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Matthew 6, verse 25 to 34. Can anyone just turn? Can just read just a few verses for me? Matthew 6, 25 to 34, and then we'll sort of like speed on a bit. Okay. I know I don't want to keep anyone here longer than we need to. So we'll move on a bit faster than anticipated. Are you all right? Are we going at the all right speed at the moment? Okay, all right. So someone just read that for me, please.
Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what
you'll eat, or what you'll drink. Okay.
Or about your body.
Yeah.
What you'll wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes?
Yeah, so God is telling us, don't worry about our life situation. I am with you. I will take care of you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Okay. Now, sometimes, obviously, there's a caveat with that, because sometimes in life, we are trying to compete with each other, unfortunately. And so if, say, Richard drives in here a nice BMW, and then I look over and say, oh, my goodness, he's got a nice car, then you would want to try to do the same thing in terms of pushing yourself financially more than you should. Okay, so God is saying, once we live within our means, what God has given us, he said he will take care of us. That's a promise. Okay. Now, let's look at what's going on here. Okay. In terms of anxiety, And this is what can occur. This is what occurred to a lot of folks who came over from the Caribbean. They were anxious of their situation. Will they find a job where they're living? They met a lot of, we don't really want you here because of who you are. So there was a lot of negativity that they were facing as well. So obviously all this would play on their minds because they came here didn't expect, I suppose we've got a lot of folks here who are part of who can sort of vouch for what I'm saying. They didn't expect the treatment that they received when they got here. I was watching a documentary about a year or so ago of what happened in Birmingham. I didn't realise it was such hostility that was occurring there with folks who had moved in there from the Caribbean. So here we go. So this is interesting. How anxious did you feel yesterday? So they asked a group of people, how anxious did you feel? And 16 to 29-year-olds said, 41% said that they felt very anxious the day before. Okay. Likewise, if you go down to, once you get a bit older, you have less people saying they were very anxious. But the younger group, and the 30 to 49 said they were very anxious the day before. So anxiety is one of the predominating emotions in our society, and I would say amongst us as well. Okay. Likewise, when asked about an important issue facing the UK today, how did different age groups respond? Okay. So 16 to 29-year-olds, they said cost of living, 96% said the cost of living is an issue for them. NHS, economy, housing, employment. 70-year-olds said the foremost thing that was really worried for them was the NHS. And cost of living, immigration, economy, and international conflict. So there's a bit of a difference, slightly, between the age groups, the young and our older members of society. Likewise, there's different aspects of anxiety. There's agoraphobia, panic disorder, generalized anxiety, obsessive. But all these, really, I would just say, obviously, anxiety. Just put it as anxiety. Okay. Symptom of agoraphobia. Now, do you believe that? Okay, let me just give you. I was in general practice, and there's a patient who came in who was suffering from this specific anxiety disorder, where she felt very anxious in crowds, and she spent most of her time at home, and she was in this state, emotional state, for some time, and she was on this specific medication. And one thing as a doctor is that you don't say to patients, or you avoid saying to patients, do you want to come off your medications? They've got to lead the way. She was on the specific medication, so I said to her, how do you feel about your medication? She said, doctor, I've been looking to come off this medication for some time. I said, don't worry, we can work with that. So I said, we'll slowly taper that down, and I want you to follow this specific I gave her some specific things to follow, and she did. So I said, I'll follow you up in a few weeks' time. When she came back so elated. She said, doctor, I've been like this for so long. Thank you so much for what you've done and what you've said. So what I'm trying to say is sometimes these things are simply can be corrected just through lifestyle measures. Okay. So normal and problematic. So now I'm going to ask a question here. Elijah was on the Mount of Carmel. And there was a great miracle in terms of fire coming down on the altar. Ahab was taken back by what happened as well. He ran in front. Ahab was the king of Israel at the time. He ran in front of the chariot and they went to the palace. On arriving at the palace, this was what Ahab spoke to Jezebel and said, what happened? He spoke to Jezebel and said, what happened? And he said, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and whether how he had slain all the prophets with a sword. And Jezebel said, a messenger to Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by the morrow this time. So what did Elijah do? He went for his life. He ran. Does that surprise you? Elijah ran. Do you think he should have ran? Yeah, Elijah just missed this amazing thing on Mount Carmel. Then you get some satanic woman making a remark in terms of, I will do to you what you've done to my prophets by this time tomorrow. And he ran for his life through fear. A man of God who saw such a miraculous thing ran through fear. Do you think that's fine? Do you think that's okay? Okay. All right, let's just move on a bit. So likewise, here we have Peter, who saw the miracles of Jesus, who was with him for so many years. When it came to denial, you know, when Peter denied Christ, he made an oath. He said to the people, in heaven, as God lives, I never knew this man. And then that curse was a curse upon himself. So he literally cursed himself to tell these people that I don't know this man. Through what? Fear. Fear. So fear can cause us to do things that we don't want to do. Okay. So this is generalized anxiety and the reasons of what causes, if we're suffering generalized anxiety, these are the symptoms that can predominate. Now, 3,200, this is so many people are losing their jobs. Unemployment crisis out of control. This is this year. So this is where we're heading to, a sort of a crisis point. And as God's people, how are we thinking of the situation that we are facing today? Are we anxious at all? Are we confident of God's hand in our life, that he will look after us in a time of crisis? Or are we fearful? So likewise, we've seen from the number from 2010 to 2017, a number of people who have been made homeless, and that is growing. I was just watching a documentary where teachers are now living in their cars. They're living out of their cars because the cost of rent is just too much for them to afford. So society is becoming difficult to manage and become more and more challenging. Likewise, another thing. So how can we then... See, anxiety is something that we can, one way or the other, help ourselves. I came across a book called Raw Energy by Leslie and Susanna Kenton a few years ago. And one thing that surprised me, and that took me surprise, because I was into lifestyle medicine and God's way of caring for ourselves, his perfect way. But I didn't realize the effect food has on the way we think and feel until I started reading this book. Now, one thing that was established is that it was called Raw Energy, because they noticed that the way they felt within themselves changed. They became more confident, less anxious, just by eating foods more sort of like 60% more raw than cooked. So they gave their experience of how they sort of made their meals, put their meals together and so forth, and how their mental agility, their thinking changed just purely because of that. So we can have some effect in terms of how we can respond to the challenges of life purely by our diet alone. Likewise, daily walking and exercises has an impact in terms of the way we think and feel as well. So walking is beneficial, exercise is beneficial. Likewise, again, that's exercise. And these are specific studies that are done in terms of how things can turn around just by exercises and specifically walking. So as we age, walking can reduce the risk of Alzheimer's and slow down age-related memory loss, build social connections as well. So just exercise alone can have a real difference in terms of our thought processes. Water as well is good, is another aspect of helping us in our anxiety. a vitamin D as well. So the vitamins, vitamin C, sunshine, vitamin, obviously going out in the sun at this specific point in this year, in terms of the heat, obviously not advisable, but sunshine has a really good and positive effect on the way we think and feel. I can give even examples of that, folks who have spoken to, counseled on, and they just changed the way they think and feel just purely by adding certain supplements to their diet. Self-control and so forth. Now, this is what I really want to get to. This is what we want to get to in terms of time. Luke 21, 25, 27, okay? Just going to read this through. So we read earlier on in terms of how Jesus will care for, well, we should have no fear about what we eat and drink because God will look after us, okay? Now Jesus says here in Luke 21, 25 to 27, and there shall be a signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, and the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in great glory. Now, with this, these are heavenly sun, moon, and stars, distress of nations. So something will happen that will cause a distress of nations by the means of the sun and the moon and the stars. I've often sort of read this and not really taken much attention to it. Of recent times, I came across some information where, just this week actually, I'll speak about it more this afternoon, where the sun and moon and stars, there are certain people and their computer modeling that there's something is actually taking place which bringing fear on a group of people who are aware of this. Okay, I was surprised myself in terms of the information, but when Jesus says that these things will occur which will cause a massive problem globally and people will faint for fear because of what they see that will occur with the sun, moon and stars, the sea and the waves roaring. So that will cause a distress of nations. So distressful that will call people to that they will faint through fear. So Luke 21, 26, primary Greek word for fear is meaning terror, alarm, or panic. The verse describes intense global distress, often translated as men fainting from fear. So another critical Greek word in this phrase is pronunciation, breath out of life or swoon, indicating a physical fainting or heart failure brought on by panic. So if someone read to me Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, and this will sort of answer or will more sort of like complement what Jesus is saying here. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. So much, yeah. Fantastic, thank you. So, this what's going to happen here complements what we've just read in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, where there'll be such a time as never was or ever shall be. So as God's people, how are we then to prepare for such an event? How can we be in terms of have emotion stability in such a time? Is it possible that we can have an emotion stability in such a time as this. Yes, okay. Fantastic. Yeah, I'm just sorry. It's not being able to switch. Okay, thank you. So, rather than a literal heart attack, the phrase in ancient Greek describes people being so terrified that they faint, lose courage, or temporarily lose consciousness from sheer panic. People faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world. So there's something that we have no control of, but what we see causes us to panic. I picked up my daughter from university about a year or so ago. It was about November, and we was traveling home. And as we were traveling home, I was driving. She was sitting in the passenger's chair in the front, and all of a sudden, both of us instantaneously said, "What is that?" It was a round white ball that shot in the sky and just went past us. It was sizable. It was quite sizable. Shot and then disappeared. I froze. I shook. I shook to say, well, I've never seen anything like that before. I then tried to find out, well, what could it have been? I looked in the local papers. I couldn't find anything. But that alone, that was just a simple experience of something that I've not seen before, and I couldn't describe it either. So when the Bible is saying that the sun and the moon, there shall be changes that will cause perplexity, that's just something small, something little. But the Bible is telling us, or Jesus is warning us, it'll cause such perplexity that we can lose courage from it. And we lose consciousness from sheer panic. So what can we do as God's people? How to approach prophecy without panic? How to approach prophecy without panic or fear? So we know, and we're told that the devil is, be alert and be sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So Jesus himself went through these specific temptations. So just like us, the word of God, and we had that in our children's story, that must be our go-to every day. It's not just for knowledge, it's to ask God, how are you leading me? How do you want me to, how is the Spirit of God leading me for that specific day? We want to be sure of God's word and have understanding through the knowledge of God through his word. So that's how Jesus himself was able to overcome temptation through his word and for the power. Let's just move on. The great controversy says, just before us is our hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. All whose faith is not firmly established upon the word of God will be deceived and overcome. So God's word is our foundation in terms of being able to cope with the time that's coming upon us. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we have no control as God's people. We have no control of what's going on that we cannot see. So it's important that we delve in God's word each day and we have a prayer for life. A prayer, so this kind can come forth by prayer and fasting. So we need to be setting ourselves in the time that we're in through prayer and fasting. So draw near to God. God will draw near to you. James 4, verse 8. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. God bless. Thank you for listening. Okay.